It's 5:30. I'm Nora Flaherty, and this is Maine Things Considered. On the program this evening, the details on today's news about Verso Paper and a look at why Sappy Paper has avoided so many of the paper industry's troubles in Maine. Also, offshore wind power in Maine gets a shot in the arm. We'll have those stories in a moment. First, this news. This is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. Our first story today, Verso Corporation has announced that it's looking at restructuring options, including sale of Yander Skoggin Paper Mill in MNJ. It's the latest blow in a tumultuous year in which Verso completed the $1.4 billion purchase of its larger competitor, NewPage, was delisted from the New York Stock Exchange, and was forced to make major reductions in pulp and paper production. Susan Sharon has our story.
The news accompanied a disappointing third-quarter earnings statement in which the company said that based on current projections and cash flows for the remainder of 2015 and 2016, quote, "We believe there is substantial doubt about our ability to continue as a going concern in the absence of a restructuring of our balance sheet." Company spokeswoman Kathy Rousey says Verso is now exploring potential restructuring alternatives, which may include Chapter 11 bankruptcy and the sale of the Yander Skoggin Mill, along with three others outside of Maine.
Basically, the mills that are being considered for potential sale, we think, have exceptional manufacturing capabilities and talented people that Verso believes will be attractive to prospective buyers.
Because of the NewPage acquisition, Verso's net sales for the third quarter actually increased $432 million compared to the third quarter of 2014. But when adjusted to include the impact of the NewPage acquisition and the sale last year of the Bucksport Mill, sales have continued to decline. Rousey says a combination of three external factors are affecting the bottom line.
The first would be our impending debt obligations. Second would be a steep drop in demand for our coated paper products. It's been rather unprecedented over the last couple of years, but particularly this year through the third quarter, and also a big increase in imports as a result of the strong U.S. dollar.
No surprise. Not at all a surprise.
Governor Paul LePage says members of his administration are already on the hunt for potential buyers. He says the handwriting has been on the wall since Verso closed the Bucksport Mill last year.
What it tells me is if there's going to be a paper industry in the state of Maine, that the owners of paper mills need to be concerned about buying land so they can have some level of self-sufficiency.
In other words, they have wood and pulp to feed their operations. Also needed, says the governor, are technological upgrades to keep Maine's mills competitive. In August, Verso announced the elimination of 300 jobs at the MNJ as part of a strategy to reduce production. J-Town manager Shiloh Lafreniere says town officials remain hopeful that Verso's restructuring will give the company the flexibility it needs to keep operating.
As always, we're still committed to working with them, and we're going to support their efforts, whether it's through restructuring or a sale of the mill.
Rousey says following the announced layoffs that are currently underway, the Yander Skoggin Mill will have about 550 remaining employees. For MPBN News, I'm Susan Sharon.
The future of papermaking in Maine will be the subject of a day-long summit tomorrow in Bangor. As we've heard, it's been a rough couple years for the industry. Verso Paper is not the only company having problems. Mills in Maine have declared bankruptcy, shed more than 1,500 jobs, and closed entirely. But so far, Sappy Paper, which operates mills in Westbrook and Somerset, has been able to avoid the big setbacks that have hit many other paper mills. Jay Field looks at the reasons why.
Sappy's mill along Route 201 in Skowhegan is the seventh largest papermaking facility in the world. The company, headquartered in South Africa, purchased the mill in 1994. A few years, notes Tony Willett, before the internet began to slowly eat away at consumers' need for paper products. Willett is the mill's managing director.
Sappy Somerset is not immune to that lack of demand across the industry.
Nor is the mill immune to another big challenge facing papermakers, rising wood costs. Donna Cassesi heads up fiber strategy for Sappy's mills in Maine.
Our logging capacity for the industry has gone down.
So the mill and its competitors in Maine are fighting over a limited supply of wood, made even more scarce by the huge surge in firewood and pellet use across the state. Sappy Somerset also struggles with high energy costs, but so far, the mill has managed to navigate these challenges without shutting down paper machines and laying off some of its more than 700 employees in Skowhegan. Robert Rice says there are several reasons why. Rice is a professor of wood science at the University of Maine at Orno.
In times when business is bad, they take the opportunity to reinvest, to modernize where they can.
We're now walking into the paper machine complex. All you need here is safety glasses and hearing protection.
Mill manager Tony Ouellette leads me to the finishing and shipping area of the mill, the last stage of the papermaking process.
This really high technology piece of equipment, it can handle rolls up to 3 tons.
Rolls of high quality catalog grade paper move down a conveyor and stop in front of an orange robotic arm shaped like a half moon. The arm nudges the rolls onto a lift, then upends them.
From a prone position into a stand-up position, so now a clamp truck can come and grab it, and the clamp truck can transport it to its appropriate location.
This $1.5 million piece of machinery, installed in September, is an example of the kind of consistent reinvestment into the mill that's allowed Sappi to thrive despite adverse market conditions. Since 1994, the company has poured more than $400 million into this facility. Donna Cassese, the wood strategy manager, says many of the improvements are driven by the company's team of 50 research and development scientists who work across the street from the Sappi mill in Westbrook.
Who are working on both innovating products as well as making the products that we already have, again, making them more efficient, making them lower cost.
Over time, the intense focus on R&D has allowed Sappi to come up with a product line that is more diverse. It includes specialty papers, like grease-resistant sheet used in pet food bags, and labels for canned soup and other food products.
They know how to run the business, and they have pretty solid management at all of their mills.
UMaine's Robert Rice says Sappi's sheer size is another big advantage. It can export from the U.S. to Europe or from Europe to the U.S., depending on market conditions. The company, he says, also goes out of its way to work with large landowners on sustainable forestry practices. Rice says these strengths are ultimately what allow the company to operate successfully, even as the demand for paper continues to fall. For MPBN News, I'm Jay Field.
Finally today, Maine's offshore wind power project might be getting a shot in the arm in the form of a $3.7 million federal award. Under a consortium led by the University of Maine, Maine Aquaventus has been working to develop a two-turbine, 12-megawatt project that'll be located off the coast of Monhegan Island. A.J. Higgins has details.
After losing out last year to three other states competing for a $47 million federal grant, the future prospects for Aquaventus were anything but certain. But the U.S. Department of Energy's announcement of a $3.7 million award for the project does more than breathe new life into the demonstration project involving deepwater floating wind turbines. Senator Susan Collins says the latest award, the second in as many years, places Maine on a level playing field with Virginia, Oregon, and New Jersey, where offshore turbine projects are already underway.
The fact that the department is now committing an additional $3.7 million on top of the $3 million last year will allow Maine to compete at the same level that the three projects that were originally chosen, because now the funding will be equalized.
In addition to regulatory and cost obstacles, the three other states that are experimenting with offshore wind power turbines have also failed to sign a power purchase agreement, which is a critical step in moving forward. Maine Senator Angus King says that while the three states have received project extensions from the DOE, Aquaventus has already won approval for a power purchase agreement, giving it a significant advantage. King says the additional $3.7 million should satisfy any lingering questions the DOE might have over the engineering assumptions contained within the Aquaventus plans for floating two 6-megawatt deepwater turbines off Monhegan Island.
That's why this announcement today is important, because it will allow the University of Maine and Chinbro and the consortium to finalize those things, get the third-party validation that can give the Department of Energy the comfort that this is a real viable project, because we've got great wind, we've got a great location, and we have a power purchase agreement, which the other projects don't have.
We've met all of our goals that the DOE set out for us over the year, and showed them that our technology will reduce costs.
Dr. Habib Dagher heads up the research division of the University of Maine's Advanced Structures and Composites Center. He says he is encouraged by the DOE award and reports significant progress on the floating concrete hull designs for the project, which Dagher says appear to be meeting the criteria set by the Department of Energy.
They want reducing costs, they want local jobs, and we've shown them that does that.
Patrick Woodcock, director of Governor Paul LePage's Energy Office, says he recently voiced support for the Aqua Ventus project during a White House summit on offshore wind. And while the governor opposed a major offshore project 4 years ago proposed by the Norwegian firm Statoil, the administration says it supports the UMaine Consortium's project, which it believes will deliver significantly lower energy costs to Maine ratepayers and has the potential of generating thousands of jobs. Still, Woodcock says cost reductions must be a primary goal for the project if the state hopes to win the full $47 million federal grant.
It's an encouraging development, but there's a lot more work that needs to be done.
Maine's U.S. Representatives Shelley Pingree and Bruce Poliquin praised the UMaine Consortium for delivering a proposal that was on schedule and within projected costs. For MPBN News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
And at 13 minutes before 6 o'clock, let's check in on the weather forecast with our meteorologist, Paul Cousins.
Here we are, sailing into the last half of November, and there's not a single winter storm in sight. Has El Nino truly grasped Maine in his clutches? Certainly we're going to cool off tonight. Skies clear out, 20s for most, teens in the mountain valleys. Tomorrow, dazzling sunshine for the entire state, 40 to 49 north to south. Wednesday, sunshine abundant, fading north of Orono in the afternoon, 41 north, 51 south. Other than some morning sun down east, a cloudy day Thursday with rain arriving west in the afternoon, east after dusk. Low 40s north, low 50s south. Behind a front Friday, expect a good breeze. We'll see more sun than clouds southern and central Maine, a 50-50 blend over the mountains. Rain ending early with partial afternoon clearing north and down east. Upper 30s north, mid-50s south. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And that's Maine Things Considered. Thanks today to Patty White, Ed Morin, Mal Leary, Keith Shortall, and Barbara Caridi. If you missed any part of our broadcast tonight, or you'd like to hear all of our Maine news in one place at your leisure, you can check out our podcast, This Day in Maine. It's at mpbn.net, and it's in iTunes. Check it out.